the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey guys, we got a cool show for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Golf Digest editor Sam Wyman. He's the author of a new book that's coming out soon, Win at Losing. Really interesting. When I first heard about this, I definitely wanted to get him on the show because, as you know, there's a lot of frustration in the game of golf. There's a lot of losses that happen and that type of thing. And he really dives into that. And I want to save some for when we talk to him and let him explain it. But just a very interesting take on how you can really turn those losses into success by learning from them. And we say that a lot. I think it's like kind of a good soundbite to say learn from your mistakes, so to speak. But what Sam does is he takes that a couple steps further, you know, much further, and really gets into the psychology of it and how we can turn some things around and losing with grace, so to speak, and then using that to fuel some of your greatest successes down the road. So really, you know, happy to get a chance to speak with him, and we're going to bring him on the show in a minute. In the meantime, as always, I have Mike here with me. Mike, how's things going?
Things going well, Frank. I read a headline today. This is interesting that Amazon drone makes its first customer delivery today.
Really?
So
today?
I could just order Bridgestones and have them at my house within 30 minutes.
Have them drop them off at the first tee.
Exactly. How amazing is that?
Yeah. You know, there's a real invention for you. For guys like us who lose a couple balls out on the course, maybe, yeah. Meet me on the seventh hole. I'm going to need another sleeve of
Nothing is worse than leaning over to your playing partner and saying, hey, you got a couple balls I can borrow till the end of the round. You didn't fill up the bag. But no, Frank, things are good. You know, holiday seasons are here. Cold weather is here. Can't wait to start swinging again. You know, I think right after the holidays, I'm going to start doing the indoor simulator. I'm going to make a point to, you know, make the investment and go once every 2 weeks or so. Just be consistent with it. You know, maybe not once a week because it is pricey, you know, I mean, to get in there for a couple hours. But I would just love to go hit, try to stay in shape all winter. What about you?
You got to find some space to build your own simulator. I'm getting more and more jealous of everybody posting their videos and pictures in the Facebook group. But yeah, man, back when I was living in Jersey closer to you, that was always cool. We had our kind of Saturday morning winter ritual, go down to the simulator, you know, grab some breakfast and play a quick 18. There was nothing like that, you know, play 18 at St. Andrews in an hour before while you're eating breakfast.
I know, it's great. It's such a great concept.
It really is. I mean, I know more and more simulators are popping up, and if you hadn't checked one out, they're really cool. I definitely encourage giving them a try this winter, especially if nothing else is to keep swinging. But yeah, speaking of the holidays, couple things. First, there's going to be no episode next week. Mike and I are going to take a much deserved break, a little time with our respective families for the holidays. So we're not going to be around next week, but we're coming back the week after. Our episode that drops on January 1st is going to be our New Year's resolution episode. We're going to talk about what we want to work on, what we want to improve, what our goals are for 2017 for our golf game. You know, our golf game goals, our fitness goals, whatever it is, you know, revolving around the sport. That's what we're going to talk about. And we want to hear what yours are as well. So let us know those. Post your goals in the Facebook group or send us a quick soundbite, you know, record yourself on your iPhone or your Android phone and email a short segment, 10, 15 seconds to podcast@golficity.com. Just let us know what your goals are because we don't want to just talk about ourselves that episode. I want that to be kind of all encompassing and we can kind of see how many overlap, you know, how many of us have similar goals for our golf game. And we can use those to kind of structure some of the episodes and the guests and the topics and everything moving forward in 2017 to address hitting those goals. So that's going to be our next big episode coming out, like I said, on January 1st. Can't believe already the year is up. But, and then like you mentioned, Mike, we had just a couple of days ago out on the, on Golficity, we were talking about our holiday gift guide and definitely a couple of those, you know, had me thinking, you know, but I, without a doubt, hands down, just kind of taking an internal vote on it. Our number one gift is the Arcos 360 tracking system. Everyone's talking about it. For any golfer in your life, or if you want to treat yourself, the thing is awesome. Like I said, this is not a promoted thing. They're not our show sponsor. Just Mike and I have been fans of the program. We love using it. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely do so. I think that's going to be the gift that everyone's talking about this year.
I think so. I mean, technology is where it's at with this game. It's a lot of cool things out there, especially that. And, you know, you and I really need to incorporate that and into the show. You know, I think maybe next year we should do that, Frank. Just have some type of stat segment where we can go back and forth, because believe it or not, it's so important keeping stats. You know, nobody does it. I know you and I don't really know anyone else in my social groups, the guys I play with, they just don't keep their stats. They don't pay attention to their game that closely. And I think it's a mistake.
Right. And you don't get the most out of your lessons if you are taking lessons right. as well, because mm-hmm. you walk in there and you're just kind of get a loose idea of what your game needs to be. If you can go in there with a really iron tight saying like, these are my stats, this is where I'm at, even show your golf, you know, instructor what you got going on in your stats, and they'll have so much more efficiency with being able to direct you. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that, because like I said, I want to reserve a nice time block here to talk to Sam. And I'm really interested in getting into his book, because like I said, especially for us amateur golfers, so many of us have that experience, the frustration, and a lot of people can make the case, say they're more often frustrated with their game than not frustrated with their game. So by being able to kind of harness that, and like something that I've tried to convert in my own game is using everything as learning experiences so that you can even enjoy the times when it seems to be more frustrating. So there's a lot to talk about with him. Mike, anything else you have before we bring Sam on the show?
No, I'm looking forward to speaking to him about this.
All right. So let's go ahead and bring him in on now, and we can talk about Sam's new book, Winning at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. Okay. So I want to welcome Sam Wyman to the show. Sam is the author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains. Sam, welcome to the Golf Podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate having you on. So let's talk a little bit about this, because it's a very, very interesting topic where we see so many books come out about winning and that side of it. So shifting gears and getting an idea about how we can learn. And I personally think you can learn more from a loss than you can from a win. But, you know, as golfers, and as people who are so often frustrated with our game and how challenging this game can be, is that some part of the motivation that you had that led you into writing this particular book?
It is. I mean, I think for me, speaking from experience, I have known mostly frustration in golf and in other sports. And part of sort of the impetus for writing this book was to find things that I could learn from various setbacks I've had, whether it's, you know, blowing a lead in a golf match or, you know, other sports that I've had setbacks. And, you know, for me, really, it started with I have two boys and trying to teach them that a lot of these setbacks that we endure in sports and in other aspects of life can be really beneficial, because like you said, they're really instructive moments and they kind of crystallize a lot of weaknesses that you have. And so I looked at it from a very personal angle to start, and then I started looking at it from a more scientific is a strong word, but from a sort of more clinical look of how people deal with losing on a kind of broad level.
Right. And in that process, it seems that you had the opportunity to interview quite a few different people and a lot of different perspectives here.
Totally. It was really interesting. And, you know, it's a funny thing to approach people with, because you're talking about what can often be a tender spot or a sore spot. But what I found is the people who I was approaching were people who had really come to peace with it. It was, in fact, something that they had learned a lot, whether it be about themselves or just, you know, things in their games that they had, you know, they had found some sort of breakthrough by way of some type of setback. So 95% of the time when I approach someone about this topic, they were very open to the idea.
Oh, that's interesting, because I'd almost think it would be the other way. When you pitch to Greg Norman, hey, let's talk about some of your your worst losses, you know, it doesn't seem like the doors would fly open, but it's interesting that they're open to and want to talk about that.
Well, I think in that case, and you know, I was pretty upfront about, I was writing a positive story, and I really was. Like, I was, my pitch, for lack of a better word, to Greg Norman was, hey, when I watched this you blow the Masters 20 years ago, I saw a guy handle it as well as someone can handle such a devastating situation, and there's a lot people can learn from it, which, you know, is I think, a great compliment. And it was true. It was honest. It was really an instructive moment for me. And so, yes, Greg Norman, 96 Masters, I'm sure he would love to be interviewed about all the successes he had in his career, but he's also self-aware enough to realize that that was a pretty big breakthrough as well, and a pretty big, you know, moment of showing a different side of himself that, a lot of athletes aren't capable of showing.
Yeah, and that failure there happened on perhaps the biggest stage. But what I would imagine is anyone who reaches that level has had many failures leading up to that point. So I think the breaking point is whether you learn from them or you let them snowball and get worse. So that being said, you know, we're talking right now. It's the end of December. We're coming into the new year. Let's talk about some of the things that, you know, we kind of pitched this idea of a new year, new you segment.
Yeah.
So what can we do? What are some ways that even amateurs, us who are not Greg Norman, what can we start to do? What did you learn in the process of putting this book together of ways that you can kind of learn from those failures?
Sure. I mean, I think for one thing, most amateurs, if you're playing, you know, kind of a mid-level handicap, you're not playing a lot of competitive golf, but you are playing a lot of golf, and you're playing a lot of golf that you've had disappointments, whatever, you know, you have aspirations of breaking 90 that week and you ended up shooting 95. So what was sort of holding you back? So one of the great lessons was, what can we learn from our setbacks and our losses? And a lot of what the book covers is really being clear-eyed and really honest with yourself about what was holding you back. So taking a good look at your game, for instance. If you're someone who hits it great on the range and, you know, but you three-putted, you know, 10 times over the course of a round and you notice that's a trend, well, that's telling you something, right? So being completely honest about that and identifying those areas of weakness that you can address. I mean, a lot of us now, the great thing about golf is we're all kind of become stat heads to an extent. Like, we keep a lot of stats about our games. Well, you can learn so much about where the deficiencies are in your game. And you know, from that information, whether it's some sort of stat tracking app or GPS or all these things, you're able to really uncover the areas that need the most work. And so when you're sort of taking an inventory of your year, you know, what better exercise is there than to say, okay, it looks like I really struggled from 150 yards in. So from now on, I'm going to really, you know, double the amount of time I work on my short game or whatever that thing is. For me, it could be one of 17 different things. But, you know, there's certainly some things I struggle with more than most. Like for me, I still feel like I just need to get longer off the tee. Like my tee ball is just not, it's not what it can be. And so I've kind of vowed to myself in 2017 to really work on increasing my power. And that comes from a lot of quote unquote failures over the course of a year when I feel like I'm just so frustrated hitting hybrids and forwards and the greens. So, you know, that's just an example of where you can kind of learn from disappointment.
So a lot of it comes to just really just being more tuned into your failure, whereas so many of us just want to just move through it, just forget about it or whatever it may be. And I think that's where, I guess, that compounding factor can come into it. But do you feel that once people kind of grasp this idea at where they can get really let it sink in that they can learn a lot from losing, do you feel like they start to lose at least a bit of that fear of failure? Because I think one of the biggest things I see with my game, with a lot of people, it's that, especially in golf, it's that fear of failure. It's that fear of on that first tee that you're going to duff it in front of all your buddies, or, you know, that 3-foot putt that you have your knees, you know, knocking over. What it really comes down to is you're afraid of failing in that moment.
Of course. Yeah. It's like that old cliche that people play not so much to win, but to not lose.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a pretty counterproductive way to go through life and to play golf for that matter. And you're absolutely right. Like for me, one of the great breakthroughs of this book, or one of the sort of real clear messages that I came away with, is that when you get to that point where you realize there's a lot of upside into losing, then you suddenly become less encumbered by fear. You're less afraid of screwing up because you sort of contemplate what's the worst thing that can happen. And when you realize the worst thing that can happen is you blow a 3-up lead with 3 to play, but you'll be okay and you'll learn something from it. Well, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. And so you're less, you know, you're less paralyzed by all of those fears you have, because I'm totally guilty of this feeling of, you know, being in whatever. It's like, God, I hope I don't blow this. And then when you're so wrapped up in those thoughts, it ends up happening that way. So if you can sort of free yourself of those thoughts and realize it's not a big deal if I do blow it, well, that's a pretty liberating feeling.
Yeah, especially with confidence being such a big part of this game. So, you know, we talked, you know, earlier about some of the different interviews and some of the different people you got to speak with. Can you share any other stories, anything that really stood out for you, anything interesting as far as the people you had spoke with, anything that really stood out?
Well, there were a bunch. I mean, the book covers a lot more than golf, but it's interesting how golf did sort of reappear on a few occasions. An interesting one is the soap opera actress Susan Lucci. I don't know if you're familiar with that, and you're forgiven if you haven't heard of her, but she was she was a big deal in the 80s and 90s because first of all, she was a big star. She's on All My Children, which was a big show, but she had this peculiar thing where she was nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award 18 consecutive years, and she lost 18 consecutive times. And she became sort of this cliche of the consummate loser. You know, she kind of became a joke. Like when they would talk about Phil Mickelson's inability to win a Masters, they would say, oh, he's the Phil Mickelson of golf. Or, you know, the Buffalo Bills were Phil Mickelson was the Susan Lucci of golf, and the Buffalo Bills were the Susan Lucci of football. So she became kind of this meme. And anyway, long story short, she ended up winning an Emmy after 18 consecutive years on the 19th try. And a lot of it came from learning what was holding her back as an actress, like learning some sort of tics in her performances that were turnoffs to judges. And she broke through, and it was this great moment. Well, the interesting thing about Susan Lucci is she actually had a son who was a competitive golfer who played college golf in Division I and turned pro and made a go at the European Tour and had some minor success, was actually on the Golf Channel show, The Big Break. And in his case, he says a really instructive thing for him was seeing how his mom dealt with losing, because she was someone who on a completely different arena, but was putting herself out there every day for judgment in some form or another and failing or not succeeding. And he learned a lot about persistence from her and how she sort of rolled with that and learned from it. And, I thought that was a really interesting story, because you wouldn't think that a soap opera actress would have a lot to teach golfer, but in this case, there was actually a direct correlation.
Right. And it's something that I find interesting as you're speaking about that too, is someone like Susan Lucci, you know, obviously with or without the awards, she's an excellent actress, but I think by having that many losses, do you feel like it kept like a motivation there, or it kept things, you know, for her by being able to light that fire losing? I mean, what I'm starting to think about is even some of the winners, so to speak, in the game. You remember just, you know, not too long ago when Jordan Spieth's dominance for a little while, and then that kind of went into a lull. I think to a certain extent that losing keeps you humble, keeps you learning. And if you weren't, you know, I mean, everybody wants to win all the time, sure. But do you feel like that gets you off that kind of that treadmill that just kind of keeps you going?
Absolutely, Frank. I mean, that's an excellent point, which is, Spieth lost that Masters last year. It was a devastating, you know, episode in his career. But think about what would have happened if he had won. He would have won his second consecutive Masters. He'd have three majors at the age of 22. He suddenly is on top of the world. And there's a very real possibility that with that comes losing a little bit of an edge. You know, you lose a little bit of hunger. Jack Nicklaus talked about that with Spieth. He talks about, in his case, it was the 1960 U.S. Open. I don't know if obviously you weren't born then, nor was I, but he was an amateur. He lost to Palmer that year, and he always says that was a huge moment for him because it really kind of got him hungrier to win. And he always says, if I had won that Open, I might have lost some of the drive that I needed. So for Spieth, you know, a lot still remains to be seen how he deals with that loss from Augusta, but there is an argument to be made that there is a lot of unfinished business and a lot of hunger there because of what happened.
Yeah, because that losing keeps the edge. It's very interesting.
Hey, Sam, I wanted to jump in real quick because I have a struggle, or this season as an amateur golfer, played quite often, and I just struggled. I've been spoiled. I'm sure you, being in the same area as Frank and I, we've been spoiled with watching Mariano Rivera just be dominant in baseball for all those years. And I've watched him almost every single night, even give up game-winning home runs and bounce back the next day. He's always talking in his post game about short memory. Yeah. Now, for me, I've actually went through this a handful of times this season where I've played so poorly that I have turned down invitations to play again 4 or 5 days, 6 days later with a buddy because I was just so frustrated with my game. I didn't want to go back and put myself through the misery of that 101 I shot last week.
Yeah.
I just couldn't bounce back from that. It took me a while. And even when I did go play again, I wasn't the Mike of old, the one who was firing those low 80s or mid 80s at the beginning of the summer. And I could just, I never bounced back. I'm looking at my gin handicap today, you know, and I'm just saying, wow, I just went south after the summer and I've never gone back.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I've been there 100 times. The funniest thing about that, and I sort of got into this with a story that I'm writing for Golf Digest, which is that, you know, you're suffering from what you think is like a lack of confidence because your game is in a bad spot. Well, actually, there's a lot of there's a lot to be said for the fact that those difficult rounds are actually helping you arrive at a breakthrough in the sense that you are learning a lot about what doesn't work, which is actually really beneficial. And, you know, sometimes you have to kind of work through these really difficult periods where and it's funny that I'm giving golf advice because I'm a chop as well. But from a psychological level, you have to kind of work through various flaws because it's going to really help you understand what isn't working and what needs addressing. There's a sports psychologist by the name of Fran Pirzola who's worked with a bunch of tour pros. He works with Bernhard Langer still. And he's a big proponent of what's known as not this but that, which is this whole thing that in order for you to understand the what's working part, you also need to go through the not this part. You know, you need to realize that when I take it too far outside, I end up slicing the ball. And so in your mind, you're saying, oh, I don't want to get back out there and play because I don't want to ingrain all these bad habits or I'm in a bad way. And his point is that actually those bad habits are helping you get to a point where you will have a greater understanding of what you shouldn't be doing. You know, it's not always linear. Like you have to kind of take 2 steps forward and then take 3 steps back. But, you know, eventually it ends up being very beneficial. So he would argue, and I think it's a good thing, is that you shouldn't be demoralized by your bad golf, but you should use it as an opportunity to bounce back.
I love that point. And did you call yourself a chop?
Yes, completely.
I love that word. So essentially this is what the golf podcast is. It's just a bunch of chops talking about golf.
Exactly. Essentially. I'm right at home then. So good.
That's great.
So then Sam, if I'm understanding what you're saying, then this could be part of the reason too, why so many amateur golfers seem to plateau. You know, we get to a certain point in our game where, you know, we're pretty good, but we're never where we want to be. You know, is it largely because when we first start playing, we can get better fairly quickly because it's very obvious where we need to improve.
Yes.
But then later, by not really diving into, you know, and not understanding so we can have focused practice, we don't get any better. We're just like looking for, oh, I want to remember that one good shot, but not decompress what went wrong.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's a really good point, which is that if you're, you know, going from someone who shoots 110 to 90, well, there's a lot of swing flaws that you're eliminating in that progress, right? Yeah. Or in that progression, because there's a lot of sort of obvious things that you can eliminate. Well, suddenly the sort of the mistakes or the flaws in your game are not as obvious when you get, you know, from, you know, getting down to a single digit handicap. You know, these are subtle corrections you need to make in your swing, and it's harder to identify those things. And so for me, I mentioned before, like, I need to get, you know, I would like to get longer off the tee. Well, it's not just a matter of swinging harder, because that's going to bring a whole bunch of things. So there's a deeper understanding of what I need to do, what I'm not doing, that happens. So, you know, look, golf's a hard game. You know, it's hard to get to that next level, but you know, it just, I guess to answer your question, I think probably it becomes more difficult to identify the glaring error once you get to a certain level.
Yeah. And you're not going to get there until you start embracing the loss, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, Sam, I know you're a busy man, so I don't want to keep you too long, but if you could just briefly tell our listeners a little bit more about where they can get their hands on your new book.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the book is out December 20th, and it will be available at every major retailer, Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can also go to my website, samweinman.com. And I do think it's a great book. Well, I'm 100% biased, but I feel like it's a pretty good book for understanding not just yourself in sports, but in sort of all aspects of life. And it was a lot of fun writing, and I hope people enjoy it. And obviously I would love any feedback from people who read it and have thoughts on it.
Certainly. And I'm really happy that it's got a chance to bring you to the show, because it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
My pleasure, Frank. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sam. Thanks again.
All right. Be well.
Take care. All right. So again, you know, a lot we can learn there. It's interesting. I like that perspective, learning from your losses. I think it's part of that big formula you and I talk about, Mike, of making that confidence in your game, of developing that. And I think that confidence comes from, you know, finding that solace in also losing, not going and just like wrapping your club around a tree because you hit the, you know, a bad shot, but more so decompressing why you hit that bad shot, and then using that as a lesson, like we said, so you can get past that plateau you're at or whatever it may be. So again, that's why I wanted to get a chance to bring Sam on the show. I think that take is something that we can all learn a little bit something from. Plus it's entertaining to hear some of the stories of these, you know, people who are the best in their field and they still have to deal with losing. So it's not something that just us amateurs have to deal with. I found that really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, all great stuff. I love how I was able to work Mariano Rivera into that. One of my all time favorite baseball players. But, you know, this is timely because for me, at least with the episode coming up in a couple weeks about our goals for 2017, my mental game was an absolute wreck last year. Yeah. That was the part of my game that was pulling me back. And that is really why I never got back to that pre-summer level. And that's going to be one of my main focuses for next year. But it was great to speak to him. I love his response to my question. Definitely stuff I'm all going to work on.
He even mentioned right there talking about how important the stats are, you know, as part of that.
Right.
And I think, look, your game, you know, and mine, because they're so similar, is a perfect example. You know, when we started off, you know, shooting 100 or more, and then you get that quick kind of progress by just learning the, you know, some basics and swing basics and bringing yourself into those mid 90s. And then we start to work our way down to the mid 80s and we start to feel like we're plateauing. That's where you start to work on the more small, more subtle, as he said, tweaks. So keeping your stats. I know you just picked up that new Arcos. I've got mine. I like it because of the fact that I'm going to tell you what, I'm not the type of person who, is going to be distracted from my game writing down my stats. All right. I like to look at it. I don't like to take hands off because I'll be honest, I need full concentration. If I break my concentration out there, I like to even put my phone away because if I break my concentration, my game goes downhill. So I think that's going to be something. I'll save some of that to talk about in our goals episode because I think that's going to be a big part of it in decompressing the stats. But like I said, our goals article, our 2017, you know, New Year's resolution type of episode that we're going to be recording a week or two from now. I don't want the conversation to be just us. Let's hear from you guys. You know, all you listeners out there, email us podcast@golfficity.com. It can be your audio if you want us to play it on the show. We can't play them all, but we'll try to get to as many as we can. Or you can just, you know, write us a regular email. We'll read it on the show or leave it in the Golf Podcast Facebook group, which you haven't had. If you haven't had a chance to check that out yet, I definitely encourage you to do so, but let us know, what are your goals for 2017? Cause we want to work them into that episode.
Yeah. You know, excellent stuff. And all I want to say is, cause I don't think we've said it yet, but happy holidays to everyone. Yeah. You know, I hope you all enjoy.
Yeah, I know I'm going to enjoy the little break next week.
Absolutely.
I know we got in trouble last time though. Last time we went on vacation, remember?
I know.
A couple listeners were upset with us. They didn't have anything to listen to at work that week.
That's all right. We come back strong and then we don't stop for the whole year.
Yeah. So we apologize for anybody for that, but I think our wives each want to have us to take a break for a week and enjoy the holidays. So anyway, we're going to do that. Again, I want to thank Sam Wyman for coming on the show. I want to thank everyone out there for listening, and we'll be back again with you in 2 weeks for our January 1st New Year's resolution show. We'll talk to you then.